J&C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got, Corey Majors. And, of course, the famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How the heck we doing today?
Well, gentlemen, I hope that there's a lot of Toe Logo action happening today.
I'm wearing my...
You gave me the shirt!
So I guess I can't really complain. That's
Toe
a fair
logo,
point.
Toe Logo, baby. That means turn it on, leave it on, get it on. And I would appreciate if anybody out there that is partaking in those three things, turning it on, leaving it on, getting it on, go ahead and text in. Let us know, 877-881-1053. Or you can tweet us.
Are you impressed with that person's multitasking ability if they're able to do all those things and text in about it?
Dude, so here's the thing. I think you get caught up in multitasking because Mike used to yell at you and tell you that you couldn't do it. And you were like, yes, I can. And then he never got to watch and experience it. I've seen it happen before. You and I have shared a room. But this has happened. Bobby looks a little, he's sticking around to do some extra work.
In a professional capacity.
I'm open-minded. I'm not choppy. You can say whatever you're going to say.
And you stayed with Broadus and shared a room with Broadus in Oxnard.
Serial killer who makes his bed every morning.
Exactly. I remember going in there and seeing how nice and tidy it was. And so Kevin and I would sleep next to each other in different beds, obviously. And I would watch. I would see how Kevin does his work, watches a show, and listens to a podcast all at the same time. And I was like, this is insane, but I appreciate it. And so, Kevin, I think there are people out there that can multitask.
Yeah.
I think some people will wait till they're done.
Ah.
Or in the middle of the beginning of it.
I get
they'll
you.
Say, you know what? I need to let people know I'm Toe Logoing right now.
Okay, I got you.
No matter how much Sean hates it.
All right. Well, I appreciate that clarification this morning. Want to know how everybody else out there in Radio Land is doing. 877-881-1053, Franklin Frankel, Injury Attorney text line. If you want to join in on the conversation or the Twitch or the YouTube, so many different options. Alec Medford, how are you today?
I really don't know how to follow that up.
You're welcome.
If we're being honest. I think
that's
I'm doing
fair.
Great, I guess.
You doing better before you heard all that?
Yeah, kinda, but...
You don't know that.
He probably does.
You know what? Fair point,
no,
Majors.
No!
Thank you, Alec.
Fair,
I appreciate
back
that.
Down to that. You are the foremost expert about how you feel. Corey doesn't know how you feel better than how you feel.
Don't let Kevin tell you how you feel.
But now I'm having the existential crisis about how I feel or how I don't feel or if I even know at this point. Now I'm flustered.
Good job, Kevin. Now you screwed up his mind right at the beginning of the show.
So did Bobby.
Well, you know what? Whatever I can do to delay from the inevitable of talking about how much the Stars absolutely suck right now.
Oh.
Give me cut number 5. What the hell is going on with this team?
I'm going to start drinking chocolate milk.
See?
Oh, the score! Ottinger mishandles the puck, and there he is! Welcome back! Seth Jarvis draws the penalty and scores the goal!
I want to say some great work done by Alec Medford right there. Can you play that clip one more time with absolutely no context? I love this transition.
I'm going to start drinking chocolate milk.
Oh, the score! Ottinger mishandles the puck, and there he is! Welcome back! Seth Jarvis draws the penalty and scores the goal!
I have to know what the conversation was before the chocolate milk. Because I wasn't aware of this. I usually have to, I don't know why I do this. I do watch things with the sound down because my family wants to talk to me. But where did that come from?
I mean, they had to find something to talk about if the Stars weren't going to decide to be competitive in the first two periods.
Well, I also do know chocolate milk's a good post-workout drink because it does have the nutrients that you need and some protein, some calcium that helps get the everything rolling there. So that's probably where they were going.
Now, I did the study. We'll probably roll it out tomorrow.
Chocolate milk?
Not necessarily. I can work on that.
All right.
About why the Stars, for being such a good team, they are so mediocre 5-on-5. And take a look at what happened yesterday. They did eventually...
Bless you, Kevin.
End up scoring 3 goals, but 2 of them were on the power play, and so you scored 1 5-on-5 goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
and Carolina scored two goals, but you got outscored 4-1, mm-hmm. 5-on-5. And especially early in the game, when you fall into that 4-1 hole, both sides had one power play goal. So you were getting worked 5-on-5, man.
Yeah, and I do wonder how much of that does have to deal with your lack of physicality. Again, Kevin, you've reverted in these last 5-6 games now. I feel
oh my gosh,
that
yeah.
you've kind of reverted, and I don't know if it's because you're afraid of injury and losing some people right now in this part of the season, or if you're just like, man, we got to figure out how to get to the break, and then we can turn it on after that. You got a month before that.
Exactly.
You got work to do before it, and they're not. I don't think they're doing the dirty work that I'm used to seeing them do that sets up for all these really good opportunities 5-on-5. That dirty work in front of your own net sets things up. That's where the opportunistic Dallas Stars are. If you can add in the opportunistic Dallas Stars and their power play, then you're a good team. But whenever you're missing the things that you're doing around on your defensive end that can help push out what you do best offensively, that's when you struggle like this.
This is really jarring.
And I wonder if because Gullitson is such a genius at power play, if he just doesn't have that yet, the thing figured out with what they do 5-on-5.
Okay.
I'm not going to just blame it all on Gullitson here, but
I would be fine if we could at least identify the problem and work on it, as opposed to, hey, we just got to get to the break. Because like you said, it's a month away. And here's the part that is so staggering to me. Between November 4th and December 21st, the Stars lost 6 games. Now, in the last 2 weeks, they've lost 6 games.
Mm-hmm. That's a bad streak, dude. Yeah, this is a very bad streak.
And that's one of the reasons, like, man, because I know we'll talk about the Mavericks in a second. It sure is a good thing that you've built up this cushion. Because, like, the Mavericks obviously can't afford this or their season is done. The Stars have been so freaking good to start off the season. The only reason they weren't the best team in the NHL is you're looking at a juggernaut in Colorado that is on pace to set all kinds of records. You're able to kind of absorb this, but, man, it feels like it's going to be tough any run of the season where you go 6 games and get 3 points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, that is brutal.
Yeah. Now this team, they have to find.
Ottinger looked terrible last night.
And that also lends itself to what you're doing in front of Ottinger.
That's fair. And I agree with that.
Did you like getting a goal that was slingshotted in by the other goalie? Did you love that idea? No, I still think what you're doing in front of Ottinger, he's got to be better. But
handling the puck and stopping the
puck. But in front of him, not good enough either. So that's area fair. Right there has work to do because, again, that sets up your offense so well.
And look, and that's something that's been building throughout the year. I we'll go back to this. I know, I feel like a lot of people in our audience know that the amount of shots on net are not always the end-all, be-all of who really controlled the puck. But, man, when you're on the wrong end of that night after night after night after night, it starts to tell you there's some semblance of a trend, and certainly the defensive downfall is a part of that trend.
From the 5-6-1, there haven't been many unwatchable Stars games this year, but last night's game got turned off quickly.
Potter
stunk, and the team energy was in the toilet.
I can see it.
That's something not just in this stretch, but doesn't it seem with this team too early, Gullitson's had to point out that he didn't like the effort from his team?
Yeah.
I know they were winning, and he had a night where he was like, I just didn't like our energy. And I was like, man, is this the right time to call out energy on a back-to-back for one? And then on top of that, you are a winning team. Do you need to do that yet? But there have been too many times already, and now you're on this stretch where they have looked as if, it's fine, to start a lot of games.
Yeah, yeah. Look, it was crap across the board, and you get right back into it tonight against Washington. Now, I guess one good thing, since we're about to talk about the Mavs, is the game is once again at 6 o'clock, but you find yourself an underdog on the road again against a team that, in theory, you are better than.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the Stars have been really good on the road, but they were pretty sizable underdog last night, and for good reason. And now I can't help but wonder, being a slight underdog tonight, how this is going to play out. You desperately, desperately want 2 points. I don't care what it looks like. You need to get 2 points if you're the Stars. Now, go ahead and give me cut number 6 because we've had this fella on the show, and here's a big three-pointer from Brandon Williams.
Coop's driving, and Brandon Williams launches a three! He hits it!
Now, I was fascinated by what Sean said. And I know a lot of people feel this way. We were clapping and fist pumping, and he's like, you want the team to lose. I get it. It's tough in the moment. But you did end up getting the win over a Sacramento team that you just lost to, I don't know, like a week and a half ago. And so that's 2 straight. And at least the Dallas Mavericks get a win over a team that they're better than, since they've picked up a whole lot of wins against teams that I don't think that they're better than, in like Houston, Denver, Detroit. But I thought it was another good win. You continue to see more from Brandon Williams that I think is really positive for the future. I know, I think it was the last game, he got like his 1,000th point in the NBA. And so I really appreciate what he has been bringing to this team. And it looks like he's a piece that should be here for a while.
Alec, I don't know if you're with me on this one, but I think that the Mavericks should be beating the teams that they aren't better than, and definitely losing to the teams that they are better than.
I gotcha.
So that their records will go up.
Oh,
while the Mavericks are like stay in that area.
Okay.
And now you're in the opponents over there going, dadgummit, they got us again. They tricked us. And you're out there going, hey, we're staying in range. This is part of the plan. This you got to bring those teams up, Kevin. Otherwise, the 8-win teams are never going to have enough wins for you to be in the spot that you want to be
in. Okay, so if you would have lost this game, you'd have been like, there you go, Sacramento, that's 2.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we're still okay, Alec, it feels like you're ready to jump on board with this line of thinking because you could help move Sacramento past you in the lottery odds.
I like it because then you're showing me that, hey, next year you could be serious while being totally unserious this year and helping your future. But I'm going to dub that majors math.
Okay.
I like it.
All right.
Thank
I like
you.
It. Anthony Davis was a beast on the boards last night, not particularly efficient offensively, but something that we have talked about is you saw Brandon Williams once again, you saw Najee Marshall, Cooper Flagg continues to have kind of his workmanlike 28-6 game.
Just touching the wall.
Yeah, that sometimes you get used to. You know what? I went back because you said that, and I looked up the full context of that quote where he's like, you got to touch it, you got to feel it, you got to taste it. And it was a lot of wall discussion.
Yeah.
And I had just seen the clip or the shortened version of like, you might be hitting the rookie wall. And I was like, sure. But I had not seen like the full in-depth like romance novel version of the wall.
Yeah, it was. I told you, he just kept going on about the wall, and at some point that wall does have to come down. You know, like it, and it will. And I'm kind of terrified for the rest of the league when it does, because he does. It does look like he's all over it right now. But that right there, Kevin, I feel like we're seeing this consistency out of the guy that you told us we were going to have.
Yeah,
the you say workmanlike, and you're just like, he gets his points. He gets his rebounds, he gets his assists, he gets a couple steals, he gets a block or two. That's just what you get with this guy on a night-in, night-out basis. Does he have the team to run with him on a night like last night? It looks like he does.
Yeah, and then you can't help but wonder, like, you move on from Anthony Davis, you get assets for the future, you either settle in at your natural lottery position or maybe even you get lucky and move into the top three. Then your mind starts to run wild about, hey, are you now going to have a whole bunch of 25 and under players that are ready to go run with Cooper? And how long is that going to take? What's that going to look like? I get all
of that. And
that
conversation too, like Anthony Davis is kind of a, I know, injury aside, the what he can do unicorn type, right?
Like he's an awesome player.
You don't find big guys that can reel in 16 like that, you know, on an easy night or 25. You've seen him do that before. You don't find guys that can do that easily, that often, and they can stay healthy either. So is there a guy that's in that next generation that you're looking at that you're like, this is the guy that will be great next to Cooper? And also be the guy that takes on some of the physical load that it does take in that power forward center position. I know Anthony Davis doesn't want to play center. I don't care. But in that area, because Gafford's not going to be around forever as you're doing this too. He might be one of the expendable parts. Derek Lively hasn't proven that he can stay healthy. So what is that stretch? What is that person that you're looking for is the right guy for him?
Yeah,
we can continue working on finding that.
Fair. I mean, but I would just say if you're looking for a potential combo guard, take a look at what Darren Peterson did last night for Kansas. He helped architect their comeback. He's an unbelievable player. I feel like I've been very clear, much like a lot of people in the NBA. You would love to see DeBonsa, somebody to take a look at. And this is a later pick in the draft, but just watch this player. Zubi Ejiofor.
Oh, yeah.
He plays at St. John's. He played at Garland.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon was on the team with him, and he would hype him up, and I was like, is this like, I know this guy, or is this legit hype? And then you would see him play, and you're like, oh, holy crap, he is really good. I think he's somebody that you can get if you pick up a secondary pick that might have that level of, like, toughness that you were just describing. But, again...
Is he one of the ones that you saw, Brandon, they were all swirling their shirts over their head and
singing
the Justin Bieber song?
No, that was way earlier. That was way earlier, because then I'd be like, no.
Oh, it's a great story,
Alex. Oh, that is a real thing that definitely happened. That was way earlier in Brandon's basketball career. But keep an eye out on him as maybe a secondary pick right there. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, new year, new predictions. So give us one sports hot take for 2026, but I feel
let's
like...
Let's get something away!
877-881-1053, caller number 10.
Now.
We'll win a chance for a pair of tickets, or you will get a pair of tickets, to go see TNA Impact live at the Curtis Caldwell Center a week from Thursday, January 15th. Those tickets are courtesy of TNA Wrestling. You can go buy from them right now, or you can win them for free. 877-881-1053. Sports hot take next.
All right, Milton steps up and throws an interception to the 40. He was looking for Span Ford, but he threw it right in the arms of Bobby Okereke. I mean, right to him.
Yeah.
What a great call from Brad Sham. That is something I will miss about this season. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and it is a new year, new predictions. 877-881-1053. Give us a blazing hot sports opinion for 2026. Would one of you fine gentlemen like to start? Would you like me to go to the text?
Go ahead and go to the text, Kevin.
All right. From the 214, Cowboys won't win six games next year. Is that a hot enough take for you, Corey?
Nah.
Oh, okay.
It's getting ready to boil.
I think this will not be a hot enough.
Now, you say three games. Now we got something hot going.
Okay.
Now we're cooking with grease.
From the 214, we miss Liam Bischel.
That could be a hot take
or just about the last thing.
No, that is definitely a hot take this again.
I feel like you agree with that take.
For sure. The Mavericks are going to make the playoffs, gentlemen, and screw over everybody's desires to finish with a very high draft pick. And so we're going to have to settle for your kid from Garland, Kevin,
as
the only possible pick that we have
your
out
face,
there.
Face Zuby.
Yeah.
All right. Do you really – is that your hot take?
I think the Mavericks are going to make a run that puts them in position to be like in the play-in game. And then they're going to win a play-in game, and you're going to tell everybody, look, if they lose the playoff game, though, or the play-in game, then that puts them in position to still get the number one overall pick like last year.
Okay, Alec, I'm going to need to do some work on my hot pick because we were going to do this on Monday, just too much fun stuff to talk about. And on Monday, I wrote the Stars will win the cup. Do you think that feels like that's become a way hotter
take?
The
NBA in-season cup?
No, the Stanley Cup. It feels like in the last couple of weeks, that has become a really hot take with the way that the Stars have been playing right now. So instead, I'm going to pivot like a coward.
Aww.
The Rangers will finish below 500 again. You know, they have finished above 500 one time in the last nine seasons.
Won the damn World Series
that
year.
That's true. Yeah. And if you tell me...
What about the last 10 seasons?
Twice.
Okay.
So,
I do like how you... That number...
Did I arbitrarily stop it right there? That's a fair
why
point.
Why is 5, 10, 15, why is 20, why round numbers like that the one that makes us feel better?
And you know what's really funny? Because I think of 25 as a round number, even though people
it's
are
not,
like,
yeah,
that's an odd number. But yeah, that's a good question. But it was because they had the run of six straight losing seasons, and then they won the World Series, and then they haven't been above 500 the last 2 years, though they were at 500 this past year. I'm going to say they're going to finish out a decade of baseball in this kind of like scope and have one winning season. I think they will finish below 500 again, because much like everyone's excited to see what the Cowboys will or will not do in free agency, you've seen what the Rangers will not do in free agency, and it's mostly discussion of we have to improve from within. And so that's going to be, I hope I'm wrong, but that's going to be my sports hot take, is that the Rangers finish below 500.
I got a question
I hate it
to ask you and you guys. This person has now texted in a couple times.
Oh, great.
Y'all love shoddy interviews and press conferences. Y'all like culture over wins. And then they said, Cowboys will miss the playoffs again, but it's okay since great news. Y'all have great interviews with Shoddy. We don't have any interviews with Schottenheimer. So we don't benefit from that. We got one.
That's true. We talked to him one time.
They got cut short. And anyway, that's a long story. So we don't do that. But did he not coach the offense well this year?
For the most part.
Well, I completely understand. I understand.
No, for the most part,
there
yeah.
are things that you and Bobby hated that he did, because I personally think he didn't trust his defense. Now, you guys are like, when you don't trust your defense, you should even go more. And sometimes they get a little more conservative. Yeah. I thought he was a good coach when it came to what his responsibility was.
Yeah.
He had a defensive coordinator and a GM that went light on making sure they had the talent. That was bad. And so now what we're hearing is the first thing he did was stand up and raise his hand and say, we got to move on from this and get something new because I didn't like what I saw. I'm going to give Schottenheimer a chance a little bit longer than to say, oh, he just does great interviews and he's a miserable coach.
Yeah, and like if we were 2, 3, 4 years in, I feel like I would go along with that a lot better.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. If we saw the same thing like that over and over, I feel like I'm hoping that I see something different from Shoddy. Though.
And if you know anything about me, I'll just speak for me. I hate when we run press conferences. We have content to get to.
Yeah,
all right?
Kevin is like, I've done work.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, I don't agree with that whatsoever. From the 817, the Texas Rangers. Oh, Alec, all right, it's going to start out bad, but then it's going to get good, okay? The Texas Rangers will finish dead last, I'm assuming, in the American League West next season, but then win the World Series in 2027.
Oh.
All right. So, but you'd make that trade, right?
Oh, that's a fair trade. Yeah. I'm taking that 100%.
From the 214, I'll read most of this. Miriam Adelson has leverage on Adam Silver, so the Mavericks get the number one pick again. That would be badass. If you could pick between DeBonsa and Peterson, oh my gosh, that would be freaking awesome.
Leverage, like how'd they acquire that leverage?
You know what? That's a good question.
I listen to the CIA podcast. Is, so you have thoughts?
From the 210, Stars win the cup and Robo wins the Conn Smythe. And you know what? For another time, I did the research on the Stars salary cap and figured out a way that we can make that happen if he wins the Conn Smythe. But I love it. Bobby, you have moved your microphone into position, I'm assuming, because you have something to say.
I want to give my hot takes for you. Okay, because
oh, no.
I think you're gonna.
Are they about sports?
Yeah, and one of them is just particularly painful to me. One, Chris Young's gonna be fired before the end of the season.
Ooh,
he'll be an in-season firing. Cody Campbell and the Texas Tech Red Raiders are gonna win the national championship next year.
Ooh,
and then the one that this will hurt me because in some ways it would validate someone that I hate. Not really, but people try to claim it. The Mavs win the play-in, and then they beat the Lakers in the first round. And not even because I believe that necessarily, more just because it feels like that would be a way that it would taunt me because of how comfortable I've gotten telling Sean that the Lakers were going to have a better record and he'd owe me a bottle of liquor. But that's just kind of what I'm feeling, because they're just so bright-eyed and bushy-tailed now, these Mavericks.
And then after they've done that, then Nico is rehired.
Oh,
and they're like, he's actually
God.
Been ghost managing this thing the whole time. And Bobby has to be like, dadgummit.
You'd have,
and then he reveals, like, Wizard of Oz. He's going to take off his Nico mask, and it's going to be Mike McCarthy.
And then he takes off the Mike McCarthy mask. He's actually Liam Neeson from The Naked Gun.
Oh, wow. What a twist.
Thank you.
And
well done, script writers.
You guys have either watched the new Naked Gun or been watching too many episodes of Scooby-Doo to come up with this evaluation.
Is it a hot take to say that that Harbaugh had to go? That this was time?
I mean,
I think he's a
good
coach.
I might be the wrong person to ask, but I thought it was time.
I think he's a good coach. I think he's a very good coach. What he's accomplished, I mean, Tony Dungy pointed out 10 out of 12, all the things that he's done. And but I feel like I saw a team that wasn't invested in what he was doing anymore.
Yeah.
And when I watched some of the footage behind the scenes in Baltimore, the energy seemed low in that place.
And I think people get too caught up with, like, your overall resume. And, like, sure, he's the favorite to be the Giants coach now. Great. Because the Giants are like, hell yeah, I'll take that. But the Ravens aren't in that place. The Ravens are, we're ready to go. We're ready to be in the playoffs. We're ready to win right now. We feel like we've constructed the roster appropriately, and you can't get us over the hump. Look across every sport. How many times have you seen a manager who is an objectively good coach or manager, but you just can't get that last little bit and you got to go?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that happens all the time. All right, Alec, what are you thinking? What's your hot take for 2026?
Not going to lie, Kevin, you took mine, but I had another.
Oh.
I actually have something non-DFW related within the NBA. I do not think that the OKC Thunder will make it back to the conference championship.
What has happened to them?
They've lost their last two. They look a lot more human. Their ideal starting lineup has not been very good this season in terms of win-loss record. But they just seem slower. They seem like they're slowing down, and it feels very reminiscent, to bring it back to DFW Sports, of the 2024 Texas Rangers, where it was that postseason run, man. It took a lot out of us. It's a bunch of young guys on that team, or just people that haven't really seen that level of success and had to make that deep of a run. So I think they might be kind of feeling the effects of, we're playing in the triple digit realm of games because we are so good and we don't know how to handle it. So I think that they are going to slow down and they're not going to make it as far in the postseason, just making the conference even more weird and even more wide open, which I think makes it fun. I think they're still really good, and I think they're going to make a playoff run, obviously. They're still very, very good, but I think the amount of games played and the amount of time spent on the floor for such a young team is probably going to catch up to them.
Kevin, you know, in all the coaches we've ever talked to, that have been at that level, won a championship, they all know you can't drive in that gear all the time.
Sure.
You have to downshift a little bit and then work your way back up into it. There has to be somewhere else to go.
Yeah.
Because if you're in that max, you're hitting that red line all the time on nights that really aren't even red line nights.
You're going to crap out.
Yeah, and you're going to run out of gas.
Yeah. No, I think that is...
How quickly they can fill their tank back up is the question.
Yeah, I think that is fair from the... let's see.
There's a lot of
man,
texts.
There really are. From the 817, hot take, the great... Man, this is interesting. The greatest thing to happen around AT&T and Globe Life next year is going to be the Arlington Grand Prix IndyCar race.
Dude, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Be prepared for descending stars from all over the world.
Man, and what a year for that. Both in terms of the IndyCar race, in terms of the World Cup, like... A lot of spotlight is going to be on Arlington this year.
972, hot take, Cody Rhodes loses the belt to Drew McIntyre.
That's possible.
After what Cody Rhodes did in The Naked Gun, I think that's definitely something that's up for grabs.
Do you know he's also going to be Guile in the upcoming
Street Fighter movie? That. He's perfect for Guile.
I can see
even
that.
Even has the tattoo on his neck that represents America.
Yeah, that's true. From the 682, the Dallas Cowboys will hire Brian Flores and make it to the NFC Championship game. Well, hell yeah. I would love to see what they're actually willing to spend to make that happen.
You still have to add players for Brian Flores.
Oh, you mean it's not just magically get better?
He can't just scheme up that. He has actually actually have players that can do it.
I'm pretty sure you can scheme pressure.
You,
from the
you can. You can.
We just couldn't.
You just have to have players that can do it.
Gotcha. And not have a coordinator who's somebody you traded for a different player. And he's like, the hell, we are going to play that guy. From the 469, Corey Seager plays 130-plus games and wins the MVP. However, that is followed up almost immediately by, from the 817, Wyatt Langford wins the AL MVP. And one of the reasons this came up, besides it obviously being the new year, Kennedy Landry threw out a prediction for the Rangers and said Wyatt Langford goes 30-30. And she added, Langford going 40-40 would be too big of a jump. But the 23-year-old hit 22 home runs with 22 stolen bases in his second big league season through a trio of oblique injuries. So let's have him jump up to 30-plus home runs, 30-plus steals. That feels like that would be a step in the right direction. And if he can do that and the Corey Seager thing comes true, well, then here we go.
I saw our friend Mike Bassick made a comparison of Wyatt to Pete Crow Armstrong.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty impressive what Wyatt's done.
I like it.
Get ready.
And then I don't know if this is a prediction as much as this is just what they want to happen. Trade Dak and get Kyler Murray. I mean, that would be pretty stunning.
After what Dak just did?
If that happened, hey.
He might finish second in MVP voting this year.
I don't.
Yet again.
I don't think that will happen. No, it won't. The best he'll finish is third.
You don't know that.
Yes, that is true. I feel very, very confident.
I'd vote for him.
He'll win it next year.
Okay. Now,
that's my bold pick.
We saved the hottest take for last.
That's for 27, Bobby. All right.
Whatever hot takes you think you heard, we saved the biggest one for last. From the 214, Will Grier will go down as the greatest Cowboys quarterback in franchise history.
I love this person.
We better start soon. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we're switching things around today, so it's time for Gridiron Gravy, a major coaching change, and another opportunity for Garrett next on The Fan.
Tyler Loop from 44. Snap good. Hold it. The kick is no good. It is wide right. And the Steelers are the champions of the North.
Man, if you haven't heard it, there's an alternate clip circulating around there about how it would have sounded if Al Michaels made that call. And it is very amusing, the continued level of disinterest.
Does he wake up from a snore?
And he goes, and the kick is up. Well, it looks like it's going to be no good, and that's it.
You know, that's interesting because there are still some times whenever I hear Al Michaels and I'm just like, this feels classic. You know,
yeah.
And then there are other times where I'm like, he doesn't care at all, because he's Al Michaels, and I wish I didn't have that, because the other part still feels cool.
Yeah,
I know you don't get affected much by it, but I think it's part of that ambiance.
I get you.
That you hear a voice, you heard a Summerall voice.
See, if for me, it used to Madden. Be Keith Jackson when he's like, "Oh, Doctor," and that I love that.
When I played Madden back in the day, Summerall's voice was on it, and so when you'd hear that, it was conditioning, essentially. It was programming, if you will.
Oh, I like that. Right now, the comparison, not the idea. Right now, powered by Men's Tea Clinic, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip! Dip it and sip it.
What do you like better? Mike McCarthy scheduled an interview to be the Giants head coach for next week, or Jason Garrett is going to interview for the Titans head coaching job on Friday.
Jason Garrett gets the job.
Whoa!
And the Titans go 8-8-1.
Okay. Will that be better than the Cowboys record?
No. I think the Cowboys are going to be better.
Okay. Good. I like it.
8-8-1, though, is like, that's as Jason Garrett as it gets.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Now, we played that clip. We discussed it. Unfortunately for Mike McCarthy, John Harbaugh is now the favorite to be the Giants head coach, but he is out as the Ravens head coach.
Were you shocked yesterday when the news came down?
Not at all.
I was shocked at, like, the timing just shocked me, I guess.
Yeah. Have you seen the graphic where it says right down the middle of the uprights, Tomlin gets fired, and then to the right and to the left of the uprights, Harbaugh gets fired?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
You know, you would ask, I think I've The only thing I missed was the San Francisco game.
Okay.
I said San Francisco would win. I was right about the Panthers. I was right about pretty much everything else that you asked me over the weekend.
Fancy.
And then you asked about Harbaugh and Tomlin. And you said, which one? I said, I think Harbaugh over Tomlin. You agreed. And now at a point where I'm like, hold on, Tomlin still could, timing-wise.
Do you think if they get, they would have to just get, like, blown out?
They won't get blown out. It just, if I wonder if it's like, okay, you've had your time, kind of like this, I don't like being mediocre to sub to above mediocre. We want to be great again. And I just don't know that that's necessarily the case. But with Harbaugh, it was time. We discussed that. And I was just kind of surprised at the timing. It just felt after all these other coaches, now we will with him. But it seemed like they were having conversations about his coaching staff, and that really lent itself to, all right, we're moving on from you.
Now, the Lions went ahead and fired their offensive coordinator yesterday as well. Let's move over to the Bengals, where Cam Taylor-Britt will spend 5 days in jail for a driving incident. And man, if you go back and like look at some of the transcript from this sentencing phase, the judge told Taylor-Britt, it's a gift, 5 days instead of 30 days. Because the thought was, you know, pay a fine, get some probation, all of that. But he could have been sentenced up to 30 days. So the judge said, you got to do them now. It'll be over soon enough because they were looking to like delay the jail time and everything. So, man, it sounds like if that person ends up in that judge's court again in Ohio, that is going to be problematic. But for now, Cam Taylor-Britt, 5 days in jail.
How many days do you think you can make it?
Oh, not long.
Do you think you'd be a snack in jail, or you think that like you'd figure out a way to run one of the groups?
No.
877-881-1053. How would Kevin handle jail? Isn't prison.
Yeah.
This is just jail.
Oh, okay. Because in prison, I feel like I'd get stabbed pretty quick.
Okay. Because you have a smart mouth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. In jail, I'll think about it. All right. Should you pay your quarterback? Now, this is probably not fair just to focus in on this, but I think it's interesting. Nonetheless, the top 10 paid quarterbacks in the NFL, 5 made the playoffs and 5 did not. Josh Allen makes it. So does Trevor Lawrence, Jordan Love, Brock Purdy, and Justin Herbert. But did not make it, Dak, Joe Burrow, Tua, Jared Goff, and Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Although, interestingly enough, average quarterback salary for the quarterbacks who did make the playoffs, $32.5 million. Average for those that did not, $30.5
million. Oh, so the ones that aren't paid as well.
It's not as shockingly different as you might think.
I'm kind of fascinated by it because the Cowboys are still always going to in that weird position. You've been very adamant. You have to break it down completely in order to benefit from the quarterback situation.
Sure.
I've always wanted to see a team say, we're going to draft quarterbacks, give them the quarterback the contract of their rookie contract, and then if they haven't won by then, we'll move on. I've wanted to see it. I really have. I think it would be interesting to see how that plays out, how it works. I understand that it takes time to learn the position at the NFL level sometimes too, but how that affects your then team building around that is an interesting question too, because are you keeping all those other guys that you know are good linebackers and good wide receivers and linemen, and you're just replacing a quarterback and saying, now go in that room and be a leader?
Yeah.
And does that work? I would love to see a team do that, but I think you still pay your quarterbacks, Kevin, because it is a business still. You're still relying on the love that people have for players just as much as you are the wins that go along with it.
Not to get too bogged down in this, but let's say the 5 that missed the playoffs, Dak, Burrow, Tua, Goff, and Lamar Jackson. Do you think only the Dolphins regret paying?
Yeah, probably so.
Okay. All right. NFL ratings are up 10% year over year. Now, was that a natural increase in the popularity of the NFL, or was that a byproduct of, we talked about the discussions they had with the Nielsen Corporation at the beginning of the season to get what they felt was a quote-unquote more accurate view of their ratings.
And didn't we kind of get a suggestion from the guy that's in charge
of... the VP of that, yeah.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, I mean, that absolutely was something that we were looking at that was... I also think that kind of delivering on some of these other streaming options has been a unique perspective,
sure.
too.
Absolutely.
Because it just... some people don't have certain things, yeah. and they only have Netflix or whatever. And I think that those have been pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's up 10% year over year. I'll be interested to see what happens next year with a new system still in place. But 18.7 million viewers per average NFL game. Now, that goes across all slots, including streaming services and everything like that. That is the highest number of average fans since 1989. So congratulations to the NFL for that. And then one more thing for you. If you're thinking the NFC West is going to get it done this year in the playoffs, think again. This year's NFC West is the fifth division since the merger to have three different teams that won at least 11 games. None of the previous four divisions produced the Super Bowl winner.
Oh, really?
So history says just because your division was top-heavy and badass does not necessarily mean, in fact, it doesn't mean you're going to win the Super Bowl.
Means you're playing against a bunch of chumps on your schedule.
I mean, I'm not going to say that for sure. Maybe they, like, made it to the Super Bowl and lost, but just keep that in mind.
Think about the chump option, though, Kevin.
Okay, I will always think.
There are a bunch of chumps out there, trust me.
About the chump options, yes. I get that. Oh, man, from this 8-0-6, Kevin's got the same chance of making it in jail as the Cowboys have of getting Flores.
Well,
zero.
I don't think the Cowboys have a real chance of getting
Flores.
Yeah,
they said zero. But I've got a better chance of making it in jail.
4-3-2, his clever jokes and he's clever and hilarious jokes. He'll make it just fine. I don't know about the jokes part. He's automatically the smartest resident in jail. With his size and brains, he would be king of the jail.
Oh,
I like
man.
That. That's a good one right there.
Doesn't it feel like that should be a show, King of the Jail? We're the KNC Masterpiece right
Damn
here.
It, Kevin.
that's King of the Hill. Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Alec is displeased. We will talk with our, about that last part. We will talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on The Fan.